The Newtown Pippin. That tree was Thomas Jefferson's favorite apple tree. He wrote about it in his letters, and he would eat those apples in the 1700s. If you get a Newtown Pippin today, that apple is from the same tree that Thomas Jefferson ate from.
That's Brian Frangi, founder of the popular website AppleRankings.com, which helps consumers assess their apple options before they make a purchase. Says Brian, the history of apples is kind of like a bad reality TV show that you can't look away from.
An apple comes from a flower, which is pollinated by a bee, whose pollen packet comes from we don't know where. That's literally the only way to make an apple. It's basically like a Maury episode every time. We just don't know who the father is.
Brian's favorite apple? It's Sweet Tango.
The number one apple I have on my website is the Sweet Tango apple. It's been the number one apple for 8 years. It's a 97 out of 100. It's the Holy Grail. It's the reason why I started ranking apples to begin with.
When ranking apples, Brian avoids fruits that have been compromised by industrial storage methods that make apples taste anything but. He places Red Delicious low on the list as a 25, citing it's like eating coffee grinds in a leather glove.
To take an apple that is fresh in October and make it available in March, when you have tons of delicious apples that are actually in season in March, is a crime against apples.
In terms of the mindfulness angle, for an apple guru, appreciating the perfect texture, crunch, and flavor notes of the world's best apples requires a mindful, discerning approach. It's about slowing down and savoring each bite.
Sometimes I try an apple and then I hand it to my friend or my wife and I say, what do you think of this apple? And a lot of the times they're just like, it's good or it's bad. And it's like, yeah, but there's much more to it than that. And I think if you're just mindful of what you're eating, an entire new world of characteristics, flavors, and experiences are unlocked to you.
This is the Enoughism podcast about having enough right now with what you have and where you are. Enjoy the show.
My name is Brian Frangi. I am the creator of AppleRankings.com, the best apple ranking website on the internet.
So you've been referred to in the media as the world's leading apple reviewer.
The world's number one apple influencer. That's unquestionable. I'm better than the other two guys who do this, and I just love apples and only apples.
So tell me, where do apples come from?
The original apple, I mean, a lot of people just falsely assume that they're from America because apples are so closely tied to the American lore with Johnny Appleseed, American is apple pie, things like that. But most people know that apples don't come from America because people from Europe came to America and brought apples with them and started planting them as crops. But that's not even where they came from originally. Apples originally came from the very first apple was from Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan is the source of all apples that are around the world. They have just branched out from this original apple.
That's fantastic. I never would have guessed that.
No one would have.
Yeah.
But I did want to talk about just the coolest apple fact that I've ever heard. My favorite apple fact is in terms of where do apples come from. We know that apples come from a seed, and those seeds came from an apple. So it would make sense that if you like an apple from a particular tree, you would take a seed from one of its apples and plant it, and then you'd eventually get an apple tree that would produce those apples. So if you like a Honeycrisp apple, you would take a Honeycrisp apple seed, dry it out, plant it, grow a Honeycrisp tree, and then you have more Honeycrisp apples. If you're a gardener, if you garden at all, like that's how fruits are made. You just take a seed and you plant it. But that's not how it works with apples. With apples, if you took a seed from any apple, every single seed and every single apple will produce a brand new variety of apple that's never been made before. So if you took a seed from a Honeycrisp apple and you planted it, you would not get a Honeycrisp apple tree. You would get a brand new apple that would have characteristics of a Honeycrisp but would be slightly different. And sometimes you would plant a seed from a Honeycrisp apple and you'd get a tree that would create green apples or yellow apples. Sometimes you'd plant a seed from a Honeycrisp apple, you'd get a tree And there'd be some apples that look like Honeycrisp, and then there'd be other branches that make green apples or apples that have nothing to do with the Honeycrisp. So that raises the question, if I took a seed out of a Granny Smith and planted it, it might produce a red apple, and then I could call it whatever I want and I could sell it. How do you get the same apple? If you like a Granny Smith, if you like a Honeycrisp, how do you get it if every single seed is different? And why is this? And the reason this is because basically every apple tree has been sleeping with every other tree in town, because the way that apples are pollinated is an apple comes from a flower, which is pollinated by a bee whose pollen packet comes from we don't know where. That's literally the only way to make an apple is a bee takes a pollen packet, pollinates a flower, and that pollen packet can come from anywhere. So no one seed will resemble the parent because the pollen packet is coming from somewhere else. It's basically like a Maury episode every time. We just don't know who the father is. But that's not the cool fact. So if you can never get the same apple using seeds, then how do we have so many Granny Smiths? How do we have so many Honeycrisps? How do they even make the same apple? And the answer is cloning. So if you like apples from a specific tree, you have to clone it by cutting off a little branch, or as it's called in the industry, a shoot, and you have to graft it onto rootstock, onto a living apple tree. You have this little branch, and it's been Frankensteined onto a different tree, and it's going to use the host tree's root system to grow out and produce fruit from the original tree. You can even take a rootstock, and you can graft multiple branches to the same rootstock. So if you wanted a tree that grows Honeycrisp, Sweet Tango, Fuji, and Gala apples all at the same time, you can do that. It's just a matter of grafting branches onto a rootstock. This is what's interesting about that. That means that every single Granny Smith apple, every single Macintosh apple, every single Pink Lady, whatever apple you eat today, came from the same exact tree as the first and only one that ever existed. So if you have a Rome apple that you bake in a pie, that came from the same tree that grew in your grandma's backyard in the 50s and that grew back in Ohio in the original Rome apple tree in the early 1900s. The Newtown Pippin, which is one of the worst apples, that tree was Thomas Jefferson's favorite apple tree. He wrote about it in his letters. And he would eat those apples in the 1700s. If you get a Newtown Pippin today, that apple is from the same tree that Thomas Jefferson ate from. And that's the coolest apple fact that I think there is. Every single apple that you eat of that variety can be traced back to the original tree that ever existed for that particular variety.
That is most definitely the coolest apple fact I've ever heard. So as someone who is so knowledgeable about the history of apples, I know you also have an apple ranking system.
Yes.
There's a website, applerankings.com, where you rank apples on a 100-point scale.
That's correct. The F100, I call it, the Frangy, which is my last name, Frangy, the Frangy 100-point scale. It is my legacy. I don't have children. This is all I have. The only thing that will live beyond me is this ranking system, which has been focus grouped and tested and has, I believe, achieved perfection in the space of munching apple rankings.
So tell me about the process. So you get some apples, you bite into them, and then how do you rank them and decide which ones are great, which ones are horse food, which is one of the rankings on the website.
Yes, that's right.
You have another ranking called Barely Worth the Calories. It's very descriptive. It's great.
Yes. No, and no offense to horses. I know a lot of horses and they're perfectly fine, but they'll eat anything. So that's why it's horse food. But every time I find a new apple, I will purchase 6 or 7 of them. Because even if you get the same apple from the same tree in the same season from the same grower, there's a lot of variety and quality amongst just apple to apple. I don't even like to rank apples if I've only tried them from one grower in one season. I feel like sometimes a grower's batch of apples is just not as good, or they're not as fresh, or they were stored wrong, or the season was not sunny enough or whatever the case may be. I want to give apples a fair shake, and so I try to rank apples when they are at their best. And that means you can't necessarily try every apple off the tree, but if a grower wants to send me apples straight from the harvest to my house to review, that's generally the best apple you can get, which happens all the time, is people just send me apples to rank. That's probably the best case. Now, if I can't get an apple straight from an orchard, straight from a tree, I try to get it from the farmer's market, or I can get it from the grocery store. But whatever, wherever I get it from, I try to get it from multiple locations, from multiple growers, and I try to rank it based off of the best version of the apple at its freshest. Like, for example, the number one apple I have on my website is the Sweet Tango apple. It's been the number one apple for 8 years. It's a 97 out of 100. It's the Holy Grail. And it's my favorite apple. It's the reason why I started ranking apples to begin with. When I tried the Sweet Tango for the first time, I could not believe that I had been eating other apples. Things have changed since then, but the apples that were available in the grocery store were like basically not even apples compared to the Sweet Tango. And the Sweet Tango apple is a very special apple because its harvest season is very short, and you pretty much can only get a fresh Sweet Tango apple in America in late August to early October, mid-October. If you get a Sweet Tango during those months, it's usually from Michigan or Washington, and it's usually amazing. Now, these days, Sweet Tango has become so popular that grocery stores like Trader Joe's want to offer them year-round. And you might go into a Trader Joe's in February or March, and you might see Sweet Tangos available. And then you might buy those Sweet Tangos, and then you might try those Sweet Tangos, and then you might curse my name because it's one of the worst apples you've ever tasted. And the reason that is because it's not fresh. It's been stored in a high nitrogen, high oxygen chamber at the cold temperature, close to freezing, but not quite. In that way, you can store apples for a really long time, and most of your produce is stored that way, and that's how it's available year-round. How do you get grapes in the wintertime? How do you get peaches in the wintertime? It's not the best time to buy those things, but that's how you get them in the grocery store. Now, the reason that's sacrilege for apples is because there are thousands of different varieties of apples, and you can get in-season apples pretty much any month of the year. To take an apple that is fresh in October and make it available in March, when you have tons of delicious apples that are actually in season in March, is a crime against apples. And so people will buy Sweet Tangos in March. They'll go, oh, applerankings.com said this is the number one apple. They eat it. It is a mealy disgrace. And they say, this guy's a fraud. And I'm not a fraud. You're just eating an apple that's out of season. And it's not my fault. There is no such thing as a delicious apple that's been set in storage for 8 months. I don't care how good the storage is. I don't care how perfect the environment is. I don't care how much money the company has to make these apples store. If you put an apple in storage for 8 months, unless there's particular apples that actually do store well for 8 months, like the Gold Rush apple from Indiana from Purdue University, which stores for 8 months, it's amazing. But other than that, if you put an apple in storage for 8 months, it's going to taste like garbage, even if it's a Sweet Tango. And so when I'm ranking my apples, I make sure that I'm trying them in season, not stored, from the grower, preferably from the tree. And then I try the apple. I try 6 or 7 different apples. Ideally, I'll try them one season and then the next season, and then I'll go back and review my own ranking blindly from the review before. And then I judge the apple based on 8, 9 categories. 9 categories that add up to 100 points. The taste category is weighted double, so it's worth 20 points.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. So I have a couple questions. For the average person who sees your list, sees that apple, where do they go? Do you go to the farmer's market? Do you try to grow your own apple tree? How do you get the freshest apple that you have access to?
So most people can just go to the grocery store and get an apple. And what I recommend is you go to applerankings.com and you don't just look at the ranking. That's a big mistake, because these grocery stores are trying to trick you. They're trying to serve you Crips Pink under the name of Pink Lady. They're trying to serve you out-of-season sweet tangos. They're trying to serve you apples that have been in a storage locker for 8 years or frozen and shipped from New Zealand because they want to make your money and they don't really care if they're besmirching the name of an apple. And so you go to the website, you go to a grocery store, you see there's maybe 8 or 9 different varieties of apple in the grocery store, and you look at the rankings on applerankings.com, and you want to pick one that's in the green level, which would be top tier apples, 75 points or above. But you can't just buy an apple that's got a high ranking. You need to look at when the apple is in season. Right now, it's April. It's pretty much wintertime for apple season. It's springtime technically, but it's still cold. If you want to get an apple that is fresh around this time, there's not as many as there is in like the late summer and the fall. But go to the website and look at when they're in season as well as their ranking. If it's a late fall, long storing, or winter, early spring apple, then it's fresh and in season. And the website says that. So for example, like right now, you might see at the grocery store a opal apple, which is one of my favorites. I really like an opal apple. And an opal apple is a yellow apple. It's delicious. I see them all the time. It's an 82 out of 100. It's excellent. This is a late fall, early summer apple. And so getting it in April or February is getting an apple that is not fresh, and it just won't taste very good, even though it's an 82 out of 100. There are apples, though, that are good in April. For example, the Evercrisp apple is an apple that's available, that's bred to be fresh in the wintertime. The Gold Rush apple, as I mentioned, is bred to be fresh in the wintertime. The Kanzi apple, which comes from Belgium, it's a sour apple. Its harvesting season is late in the fall and in the early winter. So these are apples you need to get. It's just like any other food. Like if you go to the grocery store and it's the middle of winter and you see mangoes, you better believe that those mangoes aren't going to be very good. Mangoes aren't a winter fruit. So it's the same thing is true of specific varieties of apples.
Yeah. So eat seasonally. Be aware of the time of year and how that affects the crops.
Yes, that's right. You got to know how the time of year affects the crops. I mean, you know, I know that people have a lot of responsibilities in their lives. They've got work, they've got children, they've got all sorts of things that they are responsible for. But honestly, your number one priority should be know how the seasons affect the apple crops. Because if you're not knowing that, everything else just falls to pieces.
Right. And then you want to enjoy your food because, like you said, if you're eating mangoes in the middle of the winter, that's not going to be a pleasant experience. This is so detail-oriented, and I love the passion as well. Is there anything else you want to close out on?
Well, I know this is a mindfulness podcast, and I do want to say that when I try an apple, when you are, I don't think it's necessarily good to approach your eating with such a critical lens, but when it's something that you're like doing as a hobby or when it's something you're expected to do, I am a big proponent of eating slowly and savoring bites. And some people actually make fun of me because I take like little mouse bites. Like if I have a cookie or a muffin or something, I will spend a lot of time just holding the muffin, smelling the muffin, just looking at the muffin and taking in all of its senses. And then I'll take a little tiny nibble of the edge of the muffin. And you'd be surprised how small of a bite can result in the same amount of flavor. I was a huge fan of Game of Thrones when it was out, and I would watch it with my friends. And I would buy these things called Complete Cookies, which is a vegan cookie you can get at the store. And famously, Game of Thrones episode was an hour. I would always buy a complete cookie before every Game of Thrones episode, and I would eat the cookie throughout the entire hour. And I could actually know how far into the episode we were based on how much cookie I had left. That's how perfect I got that. But the point is, I also apply that to my apple eating when I'm trying apples. Like, you can bite into an apple, and you really have to figure out, what does this apple taste like? What are the flavor notes? How tangy is it? How sweet is it? How sour is it? What is the texture in my mouth? These are all mindfulness things that you need to utilize in order to properly evaluate an apple. Like I sometimes try an apple and then I hand it to my friend or my wife and I say, what do you think of this apple? And a lot of the times they're just like, it's good or it's bad. And it's like, yeah, but there's much more to it than that. And I think if you're just mindful of what you're eating, an entire new world of characteristics, flavors, and experiences are unlocked to you. And they can last a really long time if you want that to be the case.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's about connecting to the flavors, connecting to the origin of the food. I mean, even taking an hour to eat a cookie, there's something very beautiful about that. A lot of people would eat that cookie in 2 bites and not even remember that they ate it.
So, that's right.
Brian, thank you so much for your time and for sharing all of your expertise on apples and mindfulness. What do you have going on?
Well, of course, I want to plug applerankings.com, my website. It's on the first page of Google search results, no matter what apple you search for. I have an Apple Rankings Instagram. I have my personal Instagram, which is at Brian Frangie. And I have my Apple Rankings Instagram, which is the Apple Rankings. And TikTok also is the same thing.
I learned so much, Brian. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Reverend Eugen Bond, host of the Enoughism podcast. If you're interested in meditation combined with journaling, check out my community of nearly 1,500 members worldwide at meetup.com/enoughism-podcast. For feedback, topic ideas, or to be a guest on the show, email me at enoughismpodcast@gmail.com. Discover more at iamenoughism.com, including transcripts from former episodes and some of my new experiments with AI-generated meditation music. To support the show, consider donating on my Meetup page or Venmo to @enoughism. You are enough with what you have and what you are right now.